He's got too much pine tar.
Sloppy yeah. Jalopy. They were doing the Chris Davis fishing for it.
Might be going to call George Brett out.
Well, he is. He's out.
Yes,
Brett is out. Look at this. Brett is out.
And Demon Matt.
He is out. And having to be forcibly restrained from hitting plate umpire Tim McClellan.
Too much pottar.
way too much pottar.
And welcome back to another brand new episode of Too Much Pod Tar, as we have Joe Ricotta returning to the episode, to the podcast. You know, after the Cubs traded Yu Darvish, I know he's upset about it, so he's gonna go on some rants here on here. But yeah, break some of that down. But yeah, it's just to go over the trade again. It was Yu Darvish and Victor Caratini, his personal catcher, were traded to the Padres for Zach Davies and four prospects. And the part that makes it such a bad trade for the Cubs is that none of the prospects were even in the top 100 of all of baseball, and they are not in the top 10 of the Padres prospects. So that's just kind of slap to the face, especially with the way Darvish pitched this last season. He finished runner-up in Cy Young voting to Trevor Bauer. I know they're trying to rebuild here. They're kind of in the rebuild. They're going to be trading away some other guys too, like Contreras. He's been mentioned as being a guy they're going to trade. But you got to find a better trade than that, I think. Like, that's selling low on him instead of selling high, which you have to do. You have to sell high on a guy that just had that great of a season this past year. And I know it's 2020 COVID season. I know it's not the same as any other season. It's the market's bad right now, but I still don't really understand how they couldn't find a better trade than that.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. We like we talked about before. I don't know. I think you got to find somebody to partner with, another trade partner, if this is the direction you were going to go with, and they weren't going to give you somebody like, I mean, Paddock was probably out of the question. Mackenzie Gore, excuse me. But Paddock. He's probably, yeah. Both of those guys are probably out of the question. But, I mean, and I realize Blake Snell's younger. His contract is better. But if I'm not mistaken, they have 3 years of control for Snell as well, right?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Three years.
Yeah, because he signed his five-year deal in 2019. So, yeah, 2019, 2020. So then, yeah, three more years.
Okay. Well, and like I was saying, I mean, I get it, because you got he has more value because of his age, because of, you know, his upside for, I don't know, upside wise, we can go back and forth, because yes, Darvish is 34, yeah. But he was pitching the best baseball that he has in his entire career. This last season, it's a shortened season, so you got to take it with a grain of salt. But you look at what he did in the second half of last year, from the second start in July, I believe, and the guy was fucking dominant. I mean, it was leading. It was pointing this direction of, you know, him dominating this year. And he did. And he was the runner-up, the Cy Young runner-up. So it's like, you know, you go back to that, and then you look at his start with the Cubs. So there's beat writers, and I don't really want to name names, but I'm going to name a name. Gordon Whitmire. Listen, he does okay work, but he said Darvish hasn't put it together for a full season with the Cubs. Yes, that may be true, but you equal out his starts from the second half of 2019 and from this season, what is it, about 25 starts of just dominance, sheer dominance. And you're talking about the pitcher that has the highest K per nine in the history of the major leagues among qualified pitchers. So that's freaking ridiculous right there. Mm-hmm. What you get in return with Zach Davies, people are trying to say, well, you got a guy with a decent ERA. Now you have three pitchers that are basically the same as far as the way they pitch. You got soft tossing Kyle Hendricks, good at mixing speeds, and Hendricks is... he's fine as an ace of any team. Like, he's as consistent as they come. But Alec Mills and Zach Davies. Okay. But it's not a one for one. You don't replace Darvish with Davies and say, oh, we did okay because we got all these lotto tickets that are 17 and 18 years old that most of them don't even have any professional baseball experience. They have not played a game of professional ball. So you have really no track record to go off of. You don't know what to expect. They all seem like they have a lot of upside. But when you're talking about selling high on a guy, this is the time to sell high on Darvish. I agree. And I don't disagree that maybe they should have done this, or I don't necessarily argue that this is the right move to make moving him. But when you move him, you better make sure you have a decent plan or deal set in place. And I don't think they got, no matter how many prospects you get in return, I don't think it equals, you need to get the right value. And maybe one of these guys proves us wrong and turns out to be a bona fide stud. And I'm not saying that they can't. But they're not projectable as far as, like, you don't know when the hell they're going to get here to the major league level. So, like, you need somebody, I think, that's, like, a couple years away, that's a top 10 prospect if you're going to make a move like this. And Snell got them basically two top 10 in their system. I believe Wilcox, I'm not sure. Where was Wilcox in the Padres system?
I think it was like maybe 15 or something like that. 15,
okay. But Patino was 23 overall.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I know we're not comparing the situations entirely because Snell has more value. So we know that because of age. But if you're going to sit here and tell me, not you, Alex, but Cubs fans, whoever, that Darvish doesn't have at least two more good years in him, as like an ace level Darvish, then you got to be shitting me. You, I don't think you've been watching the same pitcher. He was, and I guess I'll go over what we talked about earlier. Coming off the 2017 World Series, he had all kinds of confidence issues because he got lit up, absolutely destroyed in the biggest games of his life in the World Series. And come to find out, he wasn't tipping pitches. It was the Houston Astros cheating. Now, all that comes out right before this season, and a huge weight was lifted off of his shoulder. And you could see the weight was already coming off of him halfway through 2019 when he dominated from the second start in July till the end of the season. And the guy went off. Barely walked anybody. Walked like seven guys in like 82 or whatever it was, innings pitched. So, I don't know. I'm upset because, like, I don't think we're really valuing, like, us Cubs fans should be upset that it was basically a money dump and we took lottery tickets. And Jed Hoyer and the Cubs are saying this is the best we could have got for him. I do not believe that. I think it's the best they could have gotten from the San Diego Padres. that was their price. But I do not believe that it was the best. And I think Jeff Passan came out and said, or had, there was an article that said that this is basically just kind of the market right now, that, you know, the pandemic hit everybody and you know, this is just, nobody's really going to be spending for stuff and they don't want to take out these set. I understand that. But the Cubs, you are in a big market, and it hit the Cubs extremely hard with all the endeavors that the Ricketts family, the Cubs, you know, they own the Cubs, all the endeavors that they're involved in and all the stuff that they're paying for and they were relying on for the Cubs to pay off, because with fans and stands and people around Wrigleyville and the rooftops and Hotel Zachary and all these other things. And hey, yeah, they lost money. They lost a lot of money. They said estimated upwards of $100 million this season. And baseball, Major League Baseball, I think they lost an estimated, $4.5 billion? So the Cubs, upwards of $100 million. And projected to be upwards of $100 million this next year in losses. But they just launched the Marquee Network this last year. So they had a lot of money tied up into that. You know, and all the other things that they're doing and buying and trying to improve around Wrigleyville. That's on them. At the end of the day, that's on them. And they've screwed the fan base, because I know it was unpredictable. Like, the pandemic is unpredictable. We know that. But at the same time, they've put themselves in this position to have to do something like this. And we already have, what, the highest ticket prices in baseball? The Cubs, I believe, are the highest ticket price in baseball. So, you know, they're cash cow. See what happens when the billionaires don't have their cash cow? Well, they're just going to stay rich, of course, because they're not going to take any losses. So we need to cut ties somewhere. And yes, it's a payroll reducer getting rid of Darvish, and it frees up caps from the luxury tax. It frees up space by getting rid of dumping this contract from not only this year, but the next 2 years. But you got it. That's not, I just don't believe it. I can't believe it. It can't be the only thing that you could have done with this was take on these non-projectable players for Yu Darvish, a bona fide stud. And I will say that I will go to the end of, like, I'll go to the end of time saying this, because I was on his breakout before his breakout with the Cubs, and people were just dogging him left and right, dogging him. And you don't understand what kind of confidence, if you don't play baseball, and like, I never played baseball on that level, but I can put myself in the mindset of, you have your biggest failure on the highest stage of them all, and come to find out it wasn't even really you, and then you have an injury that season too. So everybody's judging him on this one season that he was terrible and really didn't play much, his first season with the Cubs, and oh, this contract is ridiculous, this contract is a bust. You know what? No, it wasn't. It was actually a pretty damn good investment. But now they have to make the payroll, cut the payroll. Yeah. They're getting rid of him. But I don't know. It's so maddening, because we're talking about just decision after decision that they've made that has kind of, I mean, we can go back and we can look at what Jose Quintana got from the White from us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I agreed with the move at the time, because I said they're going for it and there's more control. We have more years of control for Quintana, who's now gone. But, you know, he had his last season, last year under contract last year, or 2020. But when they got him from the Cubs, or who they got from the Cubs, and yes, it was an age thing as well. Like, the age was, you know, he was younger than what Darvish is now. I mean, Quintana was 28, but he, you know, he was a consistent 32 start, low mid-threes ERA guy, but he never had the strikeout stuff that Darvish had. Never. Like, he wasn't that guy. Like, and the White Sox got number 8 prospect in baseball. They got Eloy Jimenez, and then the number 63 prospect in baseball, Dylan Cease.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, and I mean, I know it's, like, different times than that, because it's you're comparing now with everybody, like, in turmoil and, like, loss of money and stuff with the pandemic. So I'm not really comparing the situation entirely. Of course, Quintana was younger, getting the control, but, like, we have to understand also, and cheaper, Darvish is more dominant. And frankly, I think right now, you put those two in a game 7 situation, who would you rather have right now, Blake Snell or you, Darvish? My vote is you, Darvish. And yeah. I think that's where you got to look at it and say, we needed a top 10 prospect. You can get rid of some of the other prospects that we got, and you need a top 10 prospect. And if the Padres aren't going to give that to you, you got to go somewhere else. And I have a very hard time believing that that's all they could have gotten anywhere. I think they jumped on the first thing that came.
Yeah. I think I kind of feel like it's like this kind of this year that they're kind of scared that like, oh, we got to just jump right on it. Right. First thing that we see, the first thing that somebody gives us or something. Because nobody knows what's going to happen this year with all this. So,
I completely agree. I think it was a scared move, a desperation move. We got to tear down, start this rebuild. But it's like they lied to us, though, you know, because it's like we're going to try to remain competitive, but we're going to tear it down or we're going to like quick start a rebuild. But in my eyes, when I see a move like this, and you get Zach Davies in return. Zach Davies is a quality pitcher, right? He's not a bad major league pitcher. But he's the same thing that they have with Alec Mills, soft tossing, speed mixing kind of guy. And Kyle Hendricks, who's obviously in another tier than those two guys. He's, you know, a number one, I would say, or number two on another team. Like, he's a stud. It's a different tier, but they're all three very similar style pitchers in an era that's like going power first for pitchers. So that's weird, you know, but like, okay, maybe that's what differentiates you and maybe it makes you a different competitor to these other teams and actually makes you like, wow, this is tough to face these guys because we don't see this every day. So I kind of, like, okay, that's the way you want to go. That's the route you want to go. Okay, but you take on these prospects that will not be there for till at least 2024, I'm going to say. Like, 23 or 24. Like, I don't see them coming before. I say 24 for sure. They're not coming anytime soon.
No.
So that's not a quick, like, rebuild. We're going to, you know, whatever. This is like, you needed somebody who was a little bit closer, I think, to actually doing something. And like, this scared money don't make money, and I think they played scared on this one.
Yeah. No, it's interesting too. It's like every team in the NFC East. Oh, I'm sorry, NL Central. Sorry, the NFC East of baseball.
It's terrible. That's terrible.
Every team in that division is, you know, kind of pretty much in a rebuild now. Like, the Reds are kind of on the up and coming, but they also just lost Bauer, and they're looking to trade Sonny Gray and Luis Castillo. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know what's going to go on with them. Like, they were, I think last year was probably their best year to compete. But, I mean, they can always, obviously, going to be able to compete in the division, but I don't know if they're going to go much past that. So,
yeah. And,
but the Brewers, you know, the Brewers got, I don't know, they're always kind of there, but they don't like never put it together, right? Because they have like, they have a couple pieces there, but the pitching is, you know, I don't really trust the pitch, especially with Hader. They're probably going to end up moving him too. So,
yeah. I could see that.
I think the Cardinals are probably the one team that are, is like consistently in like in that in the mix there though. That's gonna be like they're the, like the one team that's like always at the top of that division.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. I think they'll be. That's the real frustrating part too. It's like you look at all these teams, and none of them really stand out as like being a mile above any of them.
No.
Like, yeah, the Cardinals, right? The Cardinals will be they're consistent, so they'll be in the mix. And they're not going to be like they're not going to finish last in the division. They'll be like one or two, you know, like every year pretty much. And the Cubs just won the division. Like, that's the messed up part. Like, all the things that the Cubs needed, out of all the things the Cubs needed, pitching was not it. Like, starting pitching was not the starting pitching with Darvish, Hendricks, Alec Mills stepping up. I mean, you lost Chatwood. You lost Lester. You could bring him back still, even. They might on a cheap deal. You lost Quintana. But... like, for the most part, that's not the issue. Like, the hitting, it was just clutch hitting. You know, clutch hitting was always the thing. Contact hitting. Didn't have enough contact hitting when you needed it. You had down years from guys like Baez. Down years from Bryant. Bryant might still be traded. Now they're talking about shopping around Wilson Contreras. Then there's other talks about extending him. Or that's not the plan. They're not going to shop him around. I mean, it's just, it's like insanity. The amount of, like, twists and turns that so far this offseason has been with the Cubs, like, it was like nothing, nothing, nothing. And then now it's like the wheels have spun out of control. And like, honestly, I I'm not saying that they shouldn't be in like a rebuild type of mode with the amount of money that they have to work with and the contract situations, the extensions that they got to do and figure out who they're extending. Which, from what it sounds like, it's going to be Baez and it's not going to be Bryant.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother thing because Baez, he kind of showed that he has a lot more volatility in his game this last year than Bryant does because Baez was very awful at the plate this last year. And I know no fans being there, that's big on somebody like him. He's an energy guy. You know, I think that really affected him. So I don't think this isn't Baez. He's not going to be this bad. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, you could be making the wrong decision there. Like, we could be making the wrong decision with extending him and not extending Bryant. And then, you know, I don't know. Like, Wilson Contreras, I think Contreras and Rizzo, those are the two guys that if you're going to trade right now, they will get you the most in return right now. Like, and that's the messed up part is like neither one of those guys are guys that we want to get rid of, that nobody wants those guys to go. But, and I looked at Darvish like that. You're going to get rid of one of these guys if Darvish is a guy to go. And that's what that just keeps making me more and more mad. I understand his age. I understand the contract. But you really got nothing in return that's projectable for the future. You got things for the future, but we have no idea when or how good they will be when they get here. So, I don't know. I feel like I'm dragging on and on now. But
I actually have an interesting question. Like, would you rather be like the Cubs making a trade like that where they get nobody that really that good, or would you want to be the Royals of 2015 who didn't trade anybody and got nothing for them, lost them in free agency?
Sorry, repeat the Royals side of that.
No, like how they like kept all their players that they like all the guys like Lorenzo Cain and everything, and then didn't trade them. But they just lost them to free agency.
Oh, I would much rather be the Cubs side, for sure. Yeah, because that's at least you get something. But and these guys, I think they do have some high upside. If you look into them a little bit, they have some high upside, but just not the kind of upside and immediate, soon-to-be upside that I don't know. Yeah, he'd definitely much rather be the Cubs than the Royals not getting anything, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
when the Royals did get, they did trade Davis to the Cubs for Soler, which was nice. That was good. But, yeah, otherwise they kind of, they hit rock bottom fast.
Yeah, after that World Series, that was it.
Yeah, I mean, that was.
For them, though, like, even getting back to the World Series in 2015, like, after 2014, like, for a team like that, like, small market, that's even that's a good thing in itself, just to, and then be able to win it. Like, that's what they always look to do anyways, win at least one, and then.
And then tear it all down again.
Yeah. Well, like the Red Sox are doing now, too.
Exactly. You look at the – oh, I was really impressed by the Royals, what they were able to accomplish, like getting back there a second year in a row. And I was rooting for them both times. But even then, like you look at the Red Sox. I mean, what? They have three titles in since
I think 7 years or something.
7 years? Yeah, I mean, even their rebuild, like, now, like, and they had that one, like, really rough year, and then the next year they won it all. Yeah. So it's like, even their down years don't even feel, like, that bad now. You know what I mean? Like, but you look at the Cubs, and looking back on this, like, if we're judging this entire era of Cubs baseball, which is the best era in Cubs baseball ever. So I'm privileged to be watching this team, even though as much of a shit as I'm giving them right now. But like, you kind of get a feeling of like ownership is almost taking advantage of us Cubs fans being so loyal. Like I truly believe, and this is nothing against any other teams or any other whatever, the Cubs fan base has been the most loyal fan base, but ever, because we've never had winning teams until, you know, I mean. We waited 108 years. I personally didn't wait 108 years. I wasn't here. But people went to their graves not seeing a Cubs World Series for years and stuck with the team. And now what do we get to show for it? One World Series? Yeah, that's great. Like, I am thrilled. It was the best day of my life.
Yeah.
But you look back on it, it's like one World Series with these guys. And now we're like a small market franchise. We got to get rid of all these guys, like act like we're the Rays, act like we're the Royals, and ship everybody the hell out because we got to save money. You know?
Yeah, I remember back in 2016, everybody was saying like, oh, they're going to be a dynasty. They're going to win a bunch more. This isn't going to be the end. And then just kind of faded out.
Yeah, and they consistently had winning teams, you know, like, like from 2015 to 2020, they didn't have a losing record. They've had winning teams every year. I mean, then they've been right on the brink of the playoffs or in the playoffs every year. So that in and of itself is very, very, like, you can't give really much more of a higher compliment than that other than winning the World Series. And some of these years you really felt like they were just like a couple pieces away. They did not have like certain elements to their game were just not, they didn't stack up quite to some of the other teams like the Dodgers and, you know, stuff like that, like teams like that. But so you still got to give them credit for where it's due. And it's definitely a lot of that credit goes to Theo for putting together these teams. Even if some of the decisions were more win now, like even with your Yankees trading Torres for Chapman, which that worked out for both sides. I will never hate that trade ever. Ever. We'll never hate that trade. I will never talk down about that trade. But at the same time, when you look at it, that was another piece that we got rid of to try to contend now. But and some of these contracts, like you look back on the Hayward contract and the Darvish contract, and to be honest, like the last couple of years, Hayward's actually been paying for his contract. Like he's playing well. He's playing pretty well and always was well defensively and on the bases, but You know, that has kind of limited them, though, as far as spending goes. But I don't know. Yeah, you really thought it was going to be like this dynasty that was going to win. I really thought they'd get at least one more before you started seeing some major changes as far as the core goes, and or having to make decisions on guys getting extended and who's going to get traded and shipped off. But it just doesn't look like that's, you know, that's not what it is. And it's sad. It really is sad when you think about it, if you are a Cubs fan, because I think we all had that kind of those high hopes. After winning, after getting the initial World Series, finally ending the drought, you start to get higher expectations. Like, and it's just the reality. Like, you have those expectations of, all right, we won. Now let's keep fucking doing it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just hasn't quite culminated. So.
Yeah. So are the Mariners going to win a playoff game, or are the Cubs going to win a World Series before? Like, what's the next one that's going to happen?
Oh.
Or make the Mariners even just making the playoffs?
You know. I still think, because I don't know, they've got some decent prospects, I guess, huh?
I'm gonna say that they make the playoffs in like 5 years or something.
5 years?
I'll give them 5 years.
I could see that. I could see that.
They have the longest playoff drought in like all of sports or something, I think. 19 years.
It was 2001, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that was that Griffey year. Griffey and
Avery
was on the team. I don't remember.
What'd you say?
Was Sherrod on the team? I don't remember.
I think he was. Let me see.
Edgar Martinez was.
Yeah.
But yeah, that team. Oh man. Okay, so. Are they going to make the playoffs, or the Cubs are going to win a World Series first? That was the question.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Actually, A-Rod was on the Rangers in 2001. 2000 was his last year with the Mariners.
Okay.
But, yeah, the Mariners going to make the playoffs, or the Cubs going to win a World Series? What's the first one?
I put my money on... This could be, see, if they play their cards right, because they will have money to spend now, next year, maybe, but definitely in 22. I don't know. I don't want to even say it, because I feel like I'm going to jinx it. So I'm going to say I think the Mariners will make the playoffs before the Cubs win a World Series. And I would just rather take that side of it and then be pleasantly surprised if the Cubs win the World Series before they do. But I wouldn't mind them making the playoffs. Both things could happen the same year.
They're both like pretty like completely different things, really.
I mean, right.
Because I'm not saying like, oh, the Mariners are going to win the World Series next year.
Yeah.
That's the longest of shots.
Yeah, what are those odds? Like plus 500,000 to one.
Yeah, probably something like that.
We could actually look it up. I'll check my DK sports book and find that out.
Yeah.
You know what team I really want to see? I know I'm not alone here. I know you probably feel the same way. I really want to see the Angels.
Yeah.
Like, it's something I'm obsessed with now. I want to see the Angels, and I want to see the Angels. I would love, honestly, I'm rooting for the Padres now, too.
Yeah, I want to see the Padres, too, yeah.
Like, and the Angels, I want to see Trout just get into the playoffs and just show why he is the best player in baseball. And, you know, they were talking about it on MLB Tonight. Last night I was listening or watching with Dan Plesac and who's the host? Can't think of his name right now. Oh God, this is gonna bother me really bad.
Was it was it Vaskirzin? Or no?
No, not Vaskirzin. He's like the blondish haired dude.
Fuck. I can't.
Hold on. But anyways, what they said was what he said. This is why I was trying to think of who it was. Not Brian Kenny either.
You said blonde hair?
Yeah, kind of like a light brown.
I can't think of anybody who has blonde hair.
I believe it was MLB Tonight. Is it Greg?
Greg Amsinger?
Yeah, I think that's it. I guess he doesn't have. Looks like. Yeah, that's him. I don't know why I thought he had.
I don't know.
Anyways, definitely didn't have blonde hair or light brown hair. But, no, it was him. And he said he thinks that Fernando Tatis, he's getting close to being the best player in baseball and being better than Mike Trout. And Fernando Tatis is excellent.
Yeah.
But
he's not there now.
There's no Mike Trout, and he's not there. And Mike Trout is not falling off. He had a lot going on this last year.
Yeah.
With his kids and stuff and – you know,
yeah, people say that about Mookie too. They say he's the best player, but I mean, he's definitely that right there at number two. But I wouldn't say over Trout.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Bat's number two, and you could throw Tatis three, you can make an argument there too. Like you could say at the top of their game, like I feel like. There's an argument there with Ronald Acuna, with Juan Soto, with, you know, Christian Yelich. Like, you could put those guys in that bucket, but Tatis plays shortstop, and he's a really good defender, too. So I would say Tatis probably third, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, he's definitely in the top, you know, five or six, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh yeah, those odds though. The Pirates are the worst at plus 10,000.
Oh.
The Mariners are plus 8,000.
Jeez.
Yeah, the Royals and Tigers are both 10,000.
Royals and Tigers are what?
10,000.
What were the Mariners?
8,000.
Oh.
So
okay, so I was a little bit extreme with their odds, but
what did you say what their odds were?
I don't know, way more than that,
like 5,000,
500,000 or something. Yeah, that's not realistic. They'll never put the odds like that. Wow. But
even if you bet on the Pirates, like, and they win,
oh man, I had. So did Gio. We've kind of been like going back and forth every day talking about basketball bets and stuff, and he's getting into it. But we were both on Dante DiVincenzo with over on 1.5 threes, and he got that. And then I was on some college basketball stuff. Arkansas minus three, they won, and they covered, and then Mississippi State plus 7.5, and they covered. I don't know the final score of that game. I'm not looking, but anyways, yeah, that's nice. Yeah. I'm looking at it. I know that's not baseball, so sorry.
Oh, it's fine. I mean, I kind of want to transition into making this a more of a just general sports pod anyway, really.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
That's what I'm going to probably end up doing here, starting something up here soon. Oh, they won outright too. Mississippi State, cool. But yeah, that's what I'm gonna end up doing, I think, too. Got some plans of very soon. I just need to get the right setup and stuff, and then like, and also make it like a life podcast. Like, just have different people on, like you and, you know, other people, and just talk, talk about whatever. Talk about sports, obviously, but
yeah,
you know, just like, it could be just off the wall stuff. Like, we could talk about what kind of peanut butter you put on your, you know, your peanut butter jelly. Like, do you like creamy, or you got the nuts on there? What are you, crunchy stuff? Like, I don't know.
I'm a creamy guy.
Creamy guy? Okay. I've always been the crunchy. I like the crunchy. Crunchy peanut butter. I like either or. So I don't know. That would be a bad question, because, like, for me, I can't really answer that. I like both.
But yeah. Yeah, we can. That sounds fun, though. We could do a lot of stuff with that.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, I'm really interested to hear different people's stories. Like, what's their sports memories? Like, their favorite? Like, what's something that stood out to them? Like, when they were younger, and then maybe made them a fan of a certain sport or team, or like made them hate a certain sport or team or player. And then what they took out of that. And then, you know, just stuff like that. Like, I feel like that'd be really interesting to hear a lot of different people's takes on that.
But, yeah, it's some other stuff, I guess, just baseball related. That was kind of funny. John Heyman was tweeting about Bauer's contract. And then,
I saw that.
And then he threw in his agent, Rachel Luba. He was like, agent Rachel Luba declined comment. And then she goes and, like, subtweets him and says, like, oh, I didn't have my phone or whatever. I was traveling. I wasn't looking at my phone. Like, so it was kind of funny banter going back and forth between between the insider and the agent there.
That's hilarious. I think, honestly, he's like, I think a lot of these insiders, when it comes to Bauer, are so in the dark.
Yeah.
With his decision and what's actually going on, because he, like, his agent, nobody's, like, really sharing the information with them. So they're grasping at straws. They're just trying to, like, oh, she declined to comment. Like, well, she just didn't feel like talking to you at all.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think it was a decline to comment. Like, that was... I declined to comment because there's truth to that. I think, you know, it's funny, though, watching this stuff go back and forth. Who knows? That could be what he's looking for, because I wouldn't be surprised if he started pretty high, you know?
Yeah. But some of the thing, it was, yeah, well, this is one of the things that she said back. It was like, it says, what's her name? Jessica Kleinsmith even tweeted something. It was like, to be fair, Rachel isn't a great texter. And then Heyman said she did actually text back to decline comment. And then Rachel was like, I've been traveling all day and haven't opened your text RE contract lengths and money amounts. If you're referring to prior conversation we've had, when I declined to comment, I feel it's disingenuous to tweet this without giving a chance to respond to your text this evening. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's funny. I know. That's funny. I feel like I like that Rachel Luba, and I really like Bauer, what he does on social media. Heyman's like one of those guys you just, okay, if he has some good news, sometimes, like, you gotta follow him because sometimes he does break stuff.
Yeah.
But he's like, he's kind of a jag.
Yeah. Passon is definitely the best one.
Passing, yeah. I like him and I like Rosenthal.
Yeah, him and Rosenthal, yeah. They're the most, like, they're the ones that get the news, usually the ones, the first ones to get the news out.
Yeah, for sure. It was weird because I think the one who broke the Darvish trade was it Nightingale?
Yeah, I think so.
And I usually can't stand Nightingale either.
Usually he gets it wrong.
Yeah, he gives you a complete opposite of what the deal was. Like, yeah. He would have probably told us that the Cubs were getting Gore for, you know, Alec Mills or something. Like,
yeah. Or he would have said, "Oh, Darvish was traded straight up for Mike Trout."
Yeah, he's, I don't know, he's weird. I can't. Yeah. Sometimes him what the heck, John Heyman. They both go on 670 The Score sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so I have to listen to them on the radio sometimes when I'm driving, if I'm listening to The Score. And I'm like, oh, man, like, why can't they get Passan or Rosenthal to come and talk on the radio? Like, why do we need these two? But every now and then you find something out from them. So it's like, all right, I guess I'll put up with it. Like,
yeah. Funny thing is, like, the picture that he has on his Twitter, kind of like, if you look up a picture on Google, it looks nothing like him. Like, like the picture he has is all blurry, and it's like,
which one?
It's hard to even see it.
For Heyman?
Oh, for Nightingale.
Oh,
it's like,
let me see.
It's like, is that even the same guy? I'm like, what the hell?
It's probably not.
Well, somebody. Somebody once even said, like, is Bob Nightingale even real? Is he a real person?
Nobody knows. Yeah, that doesn't look real. It looks like Tom from MySpace.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think Tom from MySpace actually might be real, but who knows?
Yeah.
That's funny. But yeah, man, what else did you have planned? Do you want to talk some other more baseball stuff, related stuff?
Not really, I guess. I mean, there hasn't really any other news that we got recently.
Yeah. Yeah, other than the Padres making all the news in the world, it's like everything else still has been pretty quiet, it seems.
Yeah, just all speculation.
Very strange.
Yeah, it's.
I wasn't really expecting the Padres to be. Not that I wasn't expecting them to do anything, but I wasn't expecting them to be like the guys, the main players right now.
I knew they were gonna make moves at some point, but I didn't think they were just gonna be like going crazy here.
Yeah, exactly. Good for them, though. Good for them putting their. Eggs in the basket and, you know, going for it. That roster, and that's another guy. Like, the guy that me and you we talked about almost on a nightly basis with DFS when we did those the DFS pods. The baseball, like, we record them overnight or, like, sometimes right before the slates. And the guy that we just kept talking about all the time, and like I feel like I brought him up, or you brought him up, one of us every night, was Jake Cronenworth.
Yeah,
and I thought, man, maybe they could throw him in the deal. Nope, we didn't. Couldn't even get Cronenworth.
Yeah, it's like it's crazy.
And they signed. They got an international guy too, right?
Hassan Kim. I don't know how to say it, but.
Yeah, I don't either. He's supposedly a pretty good utility player, though.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I was surprised when I saw that they were trading him. Signing him. Like, I thought Cronenworth was going to be in the deal because of that.
Yeah. I guess they like him, you know, and he played well, like, small sample, obviously, with 2020, but he's young. And I think he's going to be pretty damn good. Like, I kind of have high hopes for him. So, obviously, they're not going to give the Cubs somebody like that. That's like, major league ready, too. But I don't know. It's frustrating. Like the Padres, though. What if you had to pick right now? Like this, I think it's really interesting. Dodgers or Padres to win the division?
I don't know. It's tough. It's. I mean, I think I still go with the. I mean, still go with the Dodgers just because they. They proved it last year that they can do. They can win it all, and their pitching is still, I think, better, even with Darvish and Snell. I think they're maybe not. I don't know. Maybe not better.
I don't know.
I think they're even now, actually, pitching wise.
I look at it like this. Well, starting pitching depends because Kershaw is getting a little older.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. That's so tough. I think Lamet is just nasty. Yeah. It depends what you get from Paddock. If you get Paddock developing or, like, really harnessing a third pitch and he gets more movement on his fastball or, like, brings back the movement he had before, I think, like, 1 through 4 and, like, whoever they slot in at 5 is going to be a high upside guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think 1 through 4. I think I would honestly take, but then they're getting David Price back, right? The Dodgers probably.
Yeah, he's supposed to be. Unless they, I don't know. Like,
I don't know
if he's gonna opt back in or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I would probably take their starting rotation, the Padres, over the Dodgers. It's so close though. But then if you look at the lineups. You might have to lean Dodgers right now. I think Dodgers have the better lineup.
The bullpens are tough too. Like, cause they're both losing guys. Like the Padres are losing Yates and the Dodgers are losing Trinan and Joe Kelly, I think. So
yeah, the bullpens, that's going to be interesting.
I mean, I really like Gratterall though for the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry,
go ahead.
I'd probably lean Dodgers there too for the bullpen.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they have more guys that have pitched in the bullpen too that they can kind of like go back and forth. Because they still have Gonsolin and May too.
Yeah.
So, like, either whoever isn't, like, in the rotation, I feel like those guys will be solid in the bullpen. And then, I agree with you on that. I think their bullpen's better than the Padres. It's going to be fun, though. It's going to be real fun to watch because I think starting pitching-wise, if there's a team that can neutralize the Dodgers – I think right now the Padres are the team. Like, I think they have this. I think the Padres have the scariest rotation in baseball right now. If Paddock is Paddock, 1 through 4, I think they are the scariest.
Yeah, I could definitely agree with that. It's just kind of tough to see. Like, you have to wait to really see, like, when the season starts to really judge. Like, it's always, why I always, like, kind of, like, I'm, like, kind of weary of when I'm doing, like, my preseason predictions. I'm, like, I don't really know where to go with it because it's, like, you don't really know until you see it.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Like, you got to wait and make sure, see what you see in spring and then, like, wait out for the injury news, too, like, who's going to go down in the spring. And, you know, like whose velocity's dipping, who, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or whose velocity's increased, like for certain teams and or players from different teams. And then, like, we have no idea, of course, what each team's going to – or what the teams are really going to do from here until spring training.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think any of them are done. There's no team in baseball, I think, right now that's done.
No.
Which is making it fun, I think, because I really just hope we don't have to wait until March or, like, late February till we start seeing, like, some of these guys go to get signed.
I kind of feel like Bauer would be the last one to go sign, probably, like, late February, early March.
You think so?
Yeah.
He might.
I think he's going to drag it out a lot. Maybe. I mean, you never know. So.
I think there's one thing, though. Who said it in the chat the other day?
Was it Matt?
I think it was Matt. He said he doesn't think – I don't know if he said he doesn't think or he could see him, like, signing in the middle of the season or something, like Keuchel.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see that happening at all.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be that long.
Because he wants to play too much. Like, he might wait till, like, the very end of – like, but he's going to play. Like, he's not going to – I feel like.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Like, because we're talking about a guy that, like, said he was okay with just one-year deals, which we don't know if that's true or not now, but I feel like he's probably not going to do that now.
No, I think he's going to go for 5 years or something.
Yeah, or like a 3-year deal maybe, but no 1-year deal. I can't see that now. Even though he says he wants to bet on himself and stuff, and like I love that about him, that part that about him that says stuff like that, but I can't see like why I would just take the guarantee, you know? Like there's too many things that can happen, and
especially now the way the market is.
Oh, absolutely. Could be getting less money by the time he goes to get another contract next year or whatever.
Yeah. But I think we covered a lot of it, so.
Yes. Yeah. Covered a lot of a lot.
A lot of a lot, yeah. That's the good way to put it.
Well, I feel like that's what we do, man. Put microphones in front of us, and we just talk baseball.
Yeah, or anything.
Yeah, or peanut butter.
Yeah, peanut butter and jelly.
But, yeah.
Yep, as the off-season moves along, we're going to be updating you guys, the listeners, with – you know, everything that's been going down as we see things happen. We'll see. Hopefully we get some more moves coming in as the pot stove heated up this past week. Hopefully we can stay lit here this offseason.
Stay lit.
But, yeah, thanks again for listening to the pod. I'll always stay tuned and going to be getting some more content out there. And also, just an announcement, I actually started a TikTok for the pod, so you can follow that. It's Too Much Pod Tar, so I'll be doing some clips of like our pods, our episodes on there, so you can check that out. And then, of course, as always, the Twitter at pod_tar, and follow myself at Alex Keeler and Joey at The Riot 326, so... Yep, that's all we have for you today. And stay tuned for another one coming soon. So just a reminder, you can never have too much pod tar.
He's got too much pod tar.
Sloppy and jalopy. They were doing the Chris Davis fishing for it.
Might be going to call George Brett out.
Well, he is. He's out. Yes, Brett is out. Look at this. Brady is out.
And Steve McMahon.
He is out and having to be forcibly restrained from hitting plate umpire Tim McClellan.
Too much pot,
way too much pot, though.